Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
Well, I'm excited to welcome in my guest today, Mr. John Malott. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, bro. I've been looking forward to this.
Are you going Corona crazy yet? Are you cooped up in the house and losing your mind, or are you getting after it and doing what you do?
I've been on house arrest before, so this isn't my first. This is my first rodeo, bro. Now, actually, I'm not enjoying what's happening, on a global scale, but for me, it's really given me a chance to kind of, laser focus on some things that I've been procrastinating on, or I've been using the excuse I'm too busy to do. I even cleaned the garage the other day, bro. So it's like, man, big things are happening in my world right now.
I'm running out of opportunities on the honey-do list. My wife is like, all right, you just need to get the hell out of the house is what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're
right now is obviously a really interesting time for a lot of people. It's almost as if the reset button has been hit for a lot of people, and equalizing of the playing field or opportunities for people to double down and dig into certain aspects of their life or their business that they may have been neglecting. And for those that don't know a little bit about your journey, you've been on the highs, the lows, the lefts, the rights, and really everything in between, which I believe is one of your superpowers that allows you to connect with so many people and impact and influence so many people because of those experiences that you've had. But right now might be a rock bottom for a lot of people, or it might be that reset for a lot of people. Take us back to some of the rock bottoms and moments in your life that were kind of those fork in the road. It's time to get it going and move in the right direction if I'm going to achieve the goals that I want to achieve.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Man, you know what? It's funny you bring that up because, thank God for, what I call the redefining moments, which were the resets, the rock bottoms. A lot of times what I thought, were my biggest curses, it turned out to be my biggest blessings, that those were the foundations for everything. And yeah, we're in a position where we truly get a reset. Like every year we get New Year's Eve and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to change my health, my wealth, all this stuff. And then we're good for a little while. And by April, we stopped going to the gym and, we're back into our old ways. This is a little different, man, because it's forcing us to slow down. It's forcing us to reevaluate. And then we have a decision on how we're going to deal with it. For me, though, my very first, I've had a lot of redefining moments as a young person. Probably one of the big ones was when I was 15 and I was just out of control. I robbed the movie theater at gunpoint. That was my first felony arrest. And I found myself locked in a detention facility. And, of course, that's a big reset, when your freedom is taken away from you for real and you're behind bars, you can't do anything about it. And then when I was, finally released from there, what we now know today as the crack epidemic had hit the neighborhood pretty hard. And I always wanted to be a capitalist, man, but, you know, I didn't get the memo, don't get high on your own supply, you know what I'm saying? And you know, funny now, not funny then, but at 17 years old, I had a heart attack from smoking cocaine. Circumstances around that, I found myself locked up again. But now I'm in a drug rehabilitation program where, you know, somebody that saw more of me than I saw myself, you know, really held the mirror up and said, look, man, this is you. You're blaming the government. You're blaming the police. You blame your dad. You blame everybody. But in the end, it's you. That was a big redefining moment. And they were he was the first one. Dave was a former outlaw motorcycle gang member who was working with youth to get them on track. And he was the first person to say to me that business was my way out. He said, look, you know, because I wasn't necessarily built for sports or, you know, of course, as a high school dropout, you know, I wasn't going to be a rocket scientist or a doctor anytime soon. But he didn't convince me, but he planted the seed that I could use business to get out of my circumstance, to get out of the neighborhood. And he gave me the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that was my first exposure to personal development. And that was the beginning, man. That's when things started. That seed got planted. I still kept one foot in the hood. I still was, you know, in and out of trouble a lot until I was 20. Well, I was 24 years old. It's funny because I just did an Instagram post because I did clean my garage the other day. In the garage, I found the paperwork around my last felony arrest as an adult at 24 years old. And that was the last time I was arrested. And I was looking at the paperwork and I'm like, man, thank God I don't live like that anymore. But that was another redefining moment as an adult sitting on a bullpen floor in Milwaukee County Jail, July 4th, 1992, stuck there. I made a decision that's who I was. That's not who I would be going forward. I made a decision sitting there and things started to change. That was a long process. I wish I could say it happened overnight, but you know, I was so far behind. It took a while, but eventually things really started to happen for me.
Yeah. And obviously your story has unfolded in a really magical way that I think for anybody that has experienced hardship or is at a fork in the road moment or at rock bottom or with their back up against the wall, you know, John is a perfect case study of someone that, you know, chose not to let their past equal their future. What was it ultimately, like if you could pinpoint in that moment in the Milwaukee County Jail, what was it that ultimately had you choose this fork versus that fork? And what did you do moving forward from there?
Yeah, it was so simple. It was so clear immediately when I got in there. So when I was being let out of my home by the Milwaukee Police Department, you know, I'm being let out of my house in handcuffs. First, they had surrounded my house. There was all this drama. Everybody was out. And at that time, though, I had a 2-year-old daughter, my oldest daughter now, Lauren. And Lauren was freaking out. She's screaming and crying. And, you know, she doesn't know exactly what's going on, but obviously something bad was happening inside the house. So as I was being let out in handcuffs, her and I looked back and I just caught her eye. Couldn't have been more than a couple of seconds. Seems like a lot longer than that, but just long enough that it was embedded in my brain. So when I got to the Milwaukee County Jail after an altercation with the police, I had stitches in my head. I was coming down from all the stuff I was on. And while sitting on that floor, two things replayed over and over in my mind. Number one, her face, her you know, eyes, her screaming. And then something that I now have tattooed on my body. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Because Dave also quoted that to me. I didn't know where it came from at the time. Two things replayed, a picture of her face screaming, crying, miserable, and a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Here I am. I'm supposed to be a grown man. I can't even take care of the one child I got. So, it was July 4th weekend. I knew I was going to be stuck on that floor because it was packed. All the hardened criminals had the bench space, had the good real estate. I sat there for 4 days waiting to get into court. And that's all that played over and over and over in my head. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. And my daughter's face. And that was enough for me to say, you know what, when I get out, when I'm done with this nonsense, whatever comes out of this, I will not be this person again. I will not live like this again. I was never arrested again after that.
Man, it reminds me of when, you know, I got expelled from high school. I got arrested in college and was facing 6 years in prison as well. And for me, it was that, man, if I'm given a second chance here, I'm going to make sure that, because I'd always talked a lot. My audio was really loud, but my video definitely didn't align with my audio and what I was putting out. And from that point, it was like, I know I'm destined for more. And there's nothing I'm not willing to do in order to give myself that opportunity, because looking around at who I was surrounded by, my new environment, my new tribe, my new mentors or influencers was definitely not who I wanted to be surrounded by. And obviously like looked a lot different after that. What get us up to speed on from that day, making that choice to where you're at today and how things have unfolded and how big and exciting and high and low they've been along the way.
Man, I my whole life is a roller coaster. it was coming out of there, even though I had made the decision, you know, of course it didn't happen fast. I remember, you know, later on, years later, I wrote a book with Les Brown and called The Power of One. And I'll never forget, Les used to say, jump and the net will appear. And I would joke around with Les and say, listen, bro, I jumped, man, and that damn net didn't show up. I bounced off the pavement like 15 times before any net showed up. So it was a grind, man. It was a struggle. People laughed. You know, when I had, you know, made this commitment that I was going to live different. In my first year as a full-time entrepreneur, I only made $4,000. So you can imagine, you know, here I am, you know, trying to do something with my life. Everyone's laughing. I'm a joke. I can't speak, you know, very well. I'm rough. And it just sucked, man. So for my first year, full-time entrepreneur was $4,000. My second year as a full-time entrepreneur, I made $16,000. But people were still laughing, but I had a mentor point out to me, he talked about the percentage of growth. He said, you know what people would give to have that type of percentage of growth in their life? I didn't see it that way. But it took me 7 years to crack $100,000 in a single year. So the seventh year, I made over $116,000. The eighth year, $225,000 roughly. And then it was a million, then a couple million a year. You know, then $250,000 a month residual income on top of everything. So people see like the end. They see the, you know, we have the private jet company now. We've got the biotech company. Well, that was supposed to go public on the NASDAQ last month, but thanks to the global pandemic, that ain't happening.
Hating on your game, man.
Man, that messed me COVID. Up, bro. But it was because I got involved in a home-based business 26 years ago. That for me now, sitting in the house, I've been building out of my home forever. So I was sort of prepared for what's happening. You know, I've always built businesses that allowed me to generate a passive residual income, because I was always about freedom, man. I wanted to be free. I didn't, you know, I got a lot of friends that have a lot of money, but they're not really free, man. They're on the grind. They're hustling every single day. I wanted time freedom and financial freedom. So I got really good at identifying. Well, in the beginning, I wasn't good at it. I had a mentor that was good at teaching me how to identify, you know, passive residual income, how to create passive residual income streams from home, cut out a lot of the overhead and expenses and the frustration that most business owners experience. And, yeah, I was fortunate, man. And when it did kick in, it kicked in big. And then, you know, people talk, people, you know, thought I was great. And I'm like, no, bro, I wasn't great. I sucked so bad for so long. I had learned so many lessons that there was no more, I couldn't make any more mistakes. You know, I had made the same mistakes over and over. Then I tried new mistakes and then more new mistakes. And eventually I started to get the formula down and started to tweak that thing a little bit. And yeah. Things started to happen.
One of my early mentors always, he said, man, you don't have to be the fastest, the smartest, or the strongest. You got to just surround yourself with the people who are, and you just got to show up and put in the repetition every day. And whatever ceiling is pushing over your head right now, you'll find a way to make it your floor, and you'll figure out the next ceiling and you make it your floor. But the repetition is the mother of all success. And I know you have worked, I mean, you've created over 600 millionaires in the last 25 years. You're also, you know, this passion for leading and serving and, you know, holding individuals accountable to achieving their greatness is something that I think has become a staple with your brand, and working with 7- to 9-figure entrepreneurs and Fortune 500 CEOs and athletes and influencers and all kinds of people. What would you say is, and these are high performing people as it is, what would you say is the number one thing you see limiting the people from actually breaking through to a new level of success, discipline, however you'd like to categorize it?
Every single time, it's always the same. It's right here. It's the thing that kept me back. It's the thing that holds everybody back. It's not the government. It's not their circumstances. It's not all these things that most people think it is. It's 100% every single time. It's our mindset. I was fortunate that, you know, a guy by the name of Jim Rohn was one of my early mentors, and he had an incentive to be a mentor because He was actually the support person inside of a network marketing company that I got involved in, where I learned all this stuff. So he had an incentive to teach me because he earned an override if I did well. And Jim Rohn taught me so much about people and about philosophy being the driving force. And then another billionaire by the name of Paul J. Meyer. Paul J. Meyer, incredible, incredible man. This guy, when in like the 1950s, he was making, you know, and he was 20 some years old, he was making, you know, millions of dollars during that time, which in today's money, I don't know what that would be. But he went on to become a billionaire, and I was fortunate to be around him a lot. He taught about the art of giving. He was so focused on serving and giving and everything for him. You know, he wrote a book called The Art of Giving. He wrote a book called I Inherited a Fortune. And he talked about his poor parents that were immigrants, I think from Germany, who had no money, had nothing, but he inherited a fortune because even though they had nothing, they constantly gave everything they had. Mm. And those seeds were planted. And towards the end of his life, he was giving away 100% of every dollar he made. And he kept working. He was in his 80s and 90s, scuba diving, climbing mountains, challenging 20-year-olds to push-up contests. One of the most energetic men I ever met in my life. And he said, I work every day. And he said, maybe it's selfish because I work every single day just to give the money away. And he's just a brilliant, amazing man. So we just adopted those philosophies. My bills in the beginning weren't getting paid anyhow. So I was like, hey, bro, what if I focus? What if you and I worked on getting your bills paid? Mine are getting paid anyhow. It's not going to happen anytime soon. So I'll work with you. Maybe we get your bills paid. And that philosophy really eventually exploded for me. Because I had a mentor that would say, you know, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll never worry about what you want. And that's what happened, man. We got so many people's mortgages paid, car payments paid, you know, private school tuitions paid, that eventually, you know, I didn't have a car payment. Eventually, you know, I'd have to worry about, you know, school tuition and mortgages and all these things because we had helped so many people get their stuff paid. And those philosophies actually work.
So crazy how the most kind of cliched statements are what hold the most truth, yeah, and are time and battle tested, right?
Man, no doubt. Yeah, it's amazing how brilliant people can put together, like in a sentence or two, something profound, something, you know, so impactful. Like me, it takes me like 16 paragraphs to get the same message across that one brilliant person can put in one sentence.
Yep. You and I both, brother. And right now with kind of this pivot, this shakeup, I've been saying, you know, it's like this atomic bomb of coronavirus was dropped on everybody, the whole world. And you watched it, you saw it, you experienced it, you know, you saw it off on the horizon explode, but we haven't necessarily felt all of the afterwaves and aftershocks. And life as we knew 30 days ago is not life as it is now, nor is it probably going to be life when we come out of this and all the dust settles. But there's a real opportunity here and a silver lining here. At least I choose to, you know, believe in that. And I'm curious, how should people be spending their time right now if they want to get ahead?
Man, this is big. Jim Rohn used to tell me all the time, he said, look, life is about two major things. It's about challenge and opportunity. And no matter what, you know, when people ask, well, what is this year going to be like? Well, it's going to be about the same as last year and the year before. And what is that? Well, it's going to be a year of challenge. It's going to be a year of opportunity. I don't think anybody coming into 2020 expecting we're going to have a global pandemic for sure. I didn't even know what a global pandemic was. But I did come into 2020 knowing that 2020 was going to be a mixture of challenge and opportunity.
Right.
So I was already kind of like, hey, whatever hits, I'm going to adjust my mindset. I'm going to adjust my thinking. You know, so what I'm telling people right now is figure out what, this is the time to figure out what you want to become first off, because it's thinking, becoming, then doing. I think so often people want to jump right into the doing part, but they haven't become. And in most cases, they haven't worked on their philosophy, which is the thinking part. So once you get the thinking down, you get your philosophy straight, you know who you are, what you are, whose you are, all that type of thing. Then you take that information. And what I do, I like to put it on a piece of paper, map out my goals, create a real blueprint, a real game plan. And then from there, create an action plan, which includes like my what I call my DMO, my daily method of operation. So then I start breaking everything down into small chunks. So people wonder, why, how are you so productive? And I don't subscribe to the same philosophy as a lot of people that, you know, get up at you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and don't sleep and all that. I need to get my sleep. I like to sleep until I'm done sleeping. I don't like alarm clocks. I like, you know, when it's, when my body says time to get up, I'll get up. You know, if it gets up at 4 o'clock, great. If my body says it's 7 a.m., get up. If it's 10 a.m., get up. I don't stress about any of that stuff. I just make sure that I have, I utilize my time to do my daily method of operation, my habits that create success. I'm focused on simple disciplines every single day that anybody can do. I just make sure that I don't miss. I make sure I read at least, and this is when I'm busy and I'm not stuck in the house, always read at least 15 pages of a good book. You know, so I have these disciplines, my health routine. I'm so committed. You know, I'm 50 this year, and man, all I can think about is I got beautiful kids. I got a beautiful wife. I have a responsibility to them to make sure part of my simple disciplines every single day, you know, include my health and wellness regimen, my supplementation, which, because I don't think we're getting what we need from our food. Even if we eat salads all day long, we're not getting enough from there. And I don't want to end up on the prescription drug program inside of our sick care system.
Yep.
So I make these things part of my deal. And I think, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people, I say, man, I'm getting fat. I'm eating like crap every day because of the pandemic. I'm like, no, this is the time to reset that too. Get out of that nonsense. You know, reset that, you know, get some good food in the house, you know, start focusing on your health and wellness, because if you're not feeling healthy, you're going to have a hard time getting wealthy. That's for sure.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun to use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal. And it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
Yeah, now's the time to, what I'm saying is just recalibrate, revise, reorganize, and then re-engage based on what landscape we're, you know, currently facing and playing and operating within. And that board game is going to change, obviously, so you just got to keep adapting. As people are, you're hearing a lot of people say, hey, double down on your education, invest in, you know, building this skill or learning this strategy or this trade. Of all of the things that have made you most successful, most weaponized, if you were to pull one tool off your tool belt that has paid you the highest ROI over the course of your career, what would you say that skill set is?
Leadership. Leadership. I focused heavily on leadership skills, leadership techniques. Leadership was a big driving force, because I've realized, and it's still true today, I realized back then that we have a leadership gap in the United States of America. We have leadership gap in when it comes to our religious organizations, because you hear the stories of a religious leader who violates the trust of their congregation. It happens all the time. We have a leadership gap when it comes to business, you know, and politics and everything else. So, you know, I one of my mentors who I've been, you know, fortunate to share the stage with many, many times, John Maxwell. He always talked about, you know, everything rises and falls on leadership. And one of the books that had a massive impact in my life was The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I'm always telling people, look, people are running around talking about I is a leader, and they couldn't tell you two of the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. And it's just like the laws of success. It's like the law of gravity. You know, it's a law. If you violate the law, you'll pay the consequences. You'll pay the price. And whether you know the laws exist or not, doesn't matter. They're always working. So I started to catch on early on. If I can figure out the laws of success, the laws of attraction, the laws of leadership, the laws of team building, you know, the laws of entrepreneurship, and instead of those laws, those things working against me, I can now get them working in my favor, and I could start to develop myself around those laws. Because so many people are frustrated because it's not fair. Things aren't, well, no, it's not designed to be fair. It's never going to be fair. So we got to stop sniveling and whining and go out and make some stuff happen. And the first way you do that is identify where there's gaping holes, where there's gaps, and then strengthen yourself there. And I did that through mentors. I did that through books. I do that through seminars, things like that. And man, leadership changed everything. Our last organization we built, we had, before I sold the company, we had 327,000 affiliates in 8 countries doing about $220 million a year. Of course, wow. It was paying me, you know, tens of millions of dollars, paid me tens of millions of dollars. But more importantly, my team made hundreds of millions of dollars. And they were a voluntary army. So it took a different set of skills, especially when you're dealing with people in countries I can't, like South Korea, was generating $100 million a year from me. I don't speak Korean. I mean, I eat kimchi from time to time. But I had to learn leadership, and I had to learn how to be flexible. I had to learn all these different pieces to the puzzle to build voluntary armies all over the world. So the number one skill that paid me the most was leadership, by far, for sure.
When did you see yourself as a leader? A lot of people struggle with going, am I a leader? Why have I earned the right to be a leader? This imposter syndrome. When can someone call themselves a leader?
Man, it's funny because even today I find myself saying, John, you're an idiot. I can't believe anybody
would follow. It's a great sign of leadership right there, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe anybody would follow me. Like, I wouldn't follow you, John, you dummy. Straighten yourself up. Get your act together. I think I'm probably the hardest on myself. Where I've got a long way to go, man. I've got great leadership skills, I believe, when it comes to leading a voluntary army to produce revenue, to deliver products to the marketplace, to care for other people. But I lack in so many other areas where I'm starting to, you know, really focus in on some of those areas, so I can be a much a better defined leader, where I could, you know, cross boundaries outside of business, maybe into entertainment or sports or who knows? I mean, even politics, which I doubt if politics would be a place for me, especially with my criminal background. they would kill me.
I hear you on that. In regards to, you know, this question that many people write into the show about, I'm a new entrepreneur, I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. With the uncertain times right now, what message do you have for the person that's at home going, is now the time that I should invest in my business, invest in my idea, double down? What do you say to that person that's having that conversation in their head right now?
This is the time. Look, there's something that gets thrown out there a lot, that more millionaires are created during recessions and things like that. The fact of the matter is, if you go back to the Great Depression of 1929, coming out of the Great Depression, we actually had, you know, way less millionaires. You know, it wiped out the fortunes. But here's what happens, and the reason why this came about. During tough times, there's a regrouping. Businesses that were run poorly are wiped out. We already know there's a ton of businesses that are wiped out forever and will never come back.
Yep.
For a lot of reasons. Not managing cash flow properly, poor management, poor leadership, whatever. What happens during bad times, during tough times, is not that we emerge with more millionaires. Usually it's the opposite. We lose a lot of them, but there's a new fresh blood. There's a whole group right now that are in their homes that are contemplating, they're thinking, they're building the next, I don't know, Uber, Facebook, Airbnb. So what happens is there's a whole new faces that will in 24 months that we'll hear about but we won't know exactly the story that they were building it while they were stuck in their houses right now. So this is the key to understand. It's not that they're not necessarily created because it's time. Now, some, of course, will make fortunes with the stock market going back up and real estate and things like that. But the majority, when it comes to entrepreneurship, are in the formulation stages. And that usually doesn't show up coming right out of it. But the foundation is always the most important part. So right now, if you get your foundation rock solid while you're stuck at home, this is not the time to be, you know, Netflixing and chilling all damn day and working on your Call of Duty skills, unless you know that's your passion and you're going to make some money doing that. This is the time to figure out what it is you want to do, what's inside of you. We always hear the most the richest place in the world is a graveyard because it's filled with, you know, the books that were never written, the businesses that never started, that type of thing. We really have a chance to create a whole new generation of entrepreneurs right now and replace a lot of the crappy ones is really what's happening. There's going to be a lot of crappy ones that are knocked out of the game. Yep. And there's going to be a whole new generation of world-class entrepreneurs that we'll start hearing their stories in 12, 24, 36 months from now.
So for that new entrepreneur, that aspiring business owner, even that person that's going, man, I need to play some great defense right now, figure out obviously how I'm going to go on the offense when it's time to do that again. What should they be investing in? Coaching, mentorships, communities, courses? What do you think is the best investment for someone right now with a little disposable income?
Yeah, for sure. It's in yourself. I get hit every day from people that are asking me this question. And I'm saying, number one, if you have limited resources, and we all do, and to some extent, I would take a percentage of whatever my resources are and I'd invest them in myself for sure. You know, I have a mentoring program that, I made it designed specifically. It started off to be for the underdog. It was designed for people like me that were downtrodden, beaten up, down on themselves, all the different things. And so we made it so ridiculously affordable that anybody could do it. And then we gave them personal access to me where they can get on the phone with me. You know, I'm giving of myself to help them move through their thing. Mentors did everything for me because it was someone else seeing in me, you know, that I had potential because I couldn't see it. I was blinded to that fact. So investing in yourself first and foremost, and then what inevitably happens, you start catching on that if you had guidance and direction from a mentor, from someone like yourself, from people that have, you know, they went into the woods with the machete and cleared the path already, you can save yourself a ton of time.
Yep.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
And I said, look, we live in a country where you can pick up a book and somebody, you know, failed their whole life and then wrote a book about it. And we can read that book and we can save ourselves all that time for what, $30? I don't know what a book costs, yep. $20, $30. And then we got mentoring, but you gotta pick your mentors wisely. You gotta make sure that it's someone that has integrity, that has character, that really has a track record. Unfortunately, I see a lot of people, they get caught up in names and social media influencers. But a lot of times, like, well, they never really built a business and you're trying to build a business. They got theory and that's fine. You can get good, you know, motivation. People sometimes will say I'm a motivational speaker. I'm saying it's for me, it's offensive. I'm not a motivational speaker because inspired people do not need motivation. You know, what we need is usable, you know, actionable type information. I'm an entrepreneur that speaks, because I built, and because a team, a collective group of people that were much stronger than me, that I just got good at bringing people together. You know, we were able to build some, you know, ridiculous organizations. And that, I'm just telling people, go find someone you can relate to that you can lock arms with. Find a good mentor and do what you can to get in that circle. You know, in the beginning, it might be just by reading their books or watching their YouTube videos. Get in there and start. But you gotta build yourself first. Again, thinking, becoming, doing. It all goes back to the same thing every single time.
Yeah, and the coach, the mentor, the community, just like, you know, your buddy planted that seed of confidence in you, and somewhat you found ways of nurturing that and being in proximity to the people that were watering that, right? Then you grow into that person as you continue to take action. And so I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's one of the best shortcuts, ways to avoid, you know, failures, learning curves, getting the results that you want to get. And a lot of people look at it as an expense instead of a real investment that pays a real ROI over time.
It's sad. You know, people come to me like, I want to invest in the stock market. What stock should I buy? Well, look, you got $5,000, $10,000. I wouldn't be playing around the stock market right now. I mean, I would take that money and invest it in myself, figure out what you want to do, what you want to become, where you want to go, map all this stuff out, and then figure out how to use those resources to get you in front of people so that you can find something that you're passionate about and use that energy to build momentum. And then when you're sitting on, you know, millions of dollars or $100,000, whatever, you know, you can figure out what that is. Then start figuring out the stock market game or the real estate, you know, game.
Right.
But there's so many things we got to put in place first. We got people that haven't, you know, that are having trouble saving right now. And you know, you got to come up with a plan for that. You know, out of every dollar, you know, you should have a program that, you know, a percentage is going into, you know, an account for passive investments. A percentage should go into an account for active investments. Of course, you know, we just need to help people change their mindset a little bit, like they did for me. Thank God, you know, I have people that came into my life and slowed me down. I would see where a whole bunch of people were making money, and right away I said, that's what I want to do. And then they slapped me around and waked me up a little bit and said, well, you know, it took them 10 years to get there. You know, you should start focusing on who you are and becoming stronger, better, faster. And then once you have the principles of success, and once you have that recipe down, then you can start playing in all different areas.
I love that. That's great advice right there. And I want to shift gears real quick as we come to the tail end of the episode of, you know, you guys have gotten to peek inside John's mindset and some of the tools that he carries on his tool belt that have served him extremely at a high level over his career. But I think one of your secret weapons and one thing that I admire most about you is how you champion your kids, how you champion your wife, how you show up and play full out for them. And you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, I admire for their business success and accolades, but they're shitty husbands, their kids don't know who they are. They don't have that alignment of core values. And I'm curious, what is the journey? Has it always been this way for you? What shifted along the way, and how has making them such a priority and kind of core foundation of your ecosystem served you in building the successful business and life that you have?
Man, it's everything, brother. And it wasn't always like this for me because I didn't know how to be a good father. I didn't know how to be a good husband. You know, I had the example of my dad, and I'm not saying my dad was bad, but my dad was a steel worker, hard drinking, you know, man's man, womanizer, you know, and my mom had left when we were young. And I just didn't have the good examples. I didn't know, you know, I thought, you know, I'm a man, you know, do what I tell you to do, woman, you know, type thing. And that was the demise of early relationships. I knew I had to get us out of the neighborhood. I didn't communicate well with the people that I was actually doing the work for. And it wasn't until a mentor of mine by the name of Miles Monroe came into my life, you know, God rest his soul. Unfortunately, he died way too soon. But Miles, he taught me something that sticks with me. He said, look, most men think they're the head of the household. And of course, you understand that thinking, but how they go about it is like, I'm the boss, I'm the deal, you know, I'm going to work. When I get home, make sure my meal is cooked, make sure the kids are taken care of,
right,
rub my feet, all this BS. What Miles said, he said, what we really are as men is we're the foundation for the household. And the foundation is critical. You know, it, when it comes to like real estate zoning laws, you know, you could have cracked windows, you got shingles coming off the roof, the siding falling off, and they won't condemn your house for that. But let there be a problem with the foundation. And so, sorry about that, I got a call coming. So what he talked about, he says, look, we become the foundation. The foundation has to be rock solid. So you, your whole family should be lifted by you. Your whole family should be supported by you. Your wife should know that if she falls, you got her. Your children should know the same thing. And when I finally started putting that in order, that I'm the foundation, it's my job to edify, to lift, to involve, to communicate. And I'm still, you know, every day I'm working on it. Then things start to get much more smooth. The challenge is all the music we listen to today, the entertainment, for men, for boys to be cool, they should have, you know, five girlfriends. They should be players. They should be, you know, bouncing from bed to bed. And then the women play the game now because they're sick and tired of all the boys they're dealing with. So now they're looking for the guy who's got some money. They can get a bag out of the deal, or, you know what I mean, or get something out of the deal. And it becomes a perpetual cycle that nobody's happy with, but
yeah, nobody's
they can't get out of it. And they don't know how to do it. So at some point you make a decision. And look, I'm a man. There's no problem with me edifying my wife and putting her on a pedestal, and the same for my children. Doesn't take anything away from me. Doesn't make me any less. And I don't have to have, you know, 15 girlfriends, you know, to make me look cool in the eyes of my peers.
You narrow down one thing.
My wife is
as the secret to the success in your relationship, and maybe your wife wants to tune in and answer for you. But what would you say is that core thing that if you could pull and strip down one thing, this is the foundation of your guys' relationship that makes it strong, successful, and moving in the right direction?
It's definitely more than one thing. I'll give you two that pop in my mind at the same time is respect and communication. Then it goes trust, loyalty. She can count that I won't betray our house. I won't betray our relationship. Type thing, where there was a time that I couldn't have said that, because look, man, my divorce, after my last divorce, I took 3 years and hit nightclubs and strip clubs like a maniac, 5-6 nights a week, you know, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on bottle service and just being an idiot. And I can tell you this, that I learned that it was all meaningless. Mm. At 3 years of living that lifestyle and what appeared to be everything you can think of, the cars, the big house on the hill, you know, strippers in the pool, all this stuff that young guys think is what they want. I was the least fulfilled person on the planet. There was nothing fulfilling about any of it in the end. But having a relationship with someone that truly has your back, I have hers, she has mine. The accountability, not accountability, but countability, is a big deal, man. Going to bed at night with someone that you love and you care about, you sleep better, stress comes down. I mean, there's so many reasons for finding a true partnership. And we do business together. Like, you know, everything I'm involved in, she's involved in. Even though, you know, she's a lot younger than me, she's a powerhouse. She's highly educated, I'm not. She's got degrees, I don't. She communicates well, I don't. I mean, in all these different areas, I can dance, she can't. You know, but you know, we compliment each other. She's laughing.
I love it. Well, it's always, I always say, man, my wife is she's my secret weapon. When my world, and I think as humans in general, relationship wise, like we crave to have our world spin around some axes. And when you can find that person, which my wife is my axes, if it's off, my health is off. I'm showing up to work a little bit less, you know, optimized. All aspects of life are off. So when you find that secret weapon in your partner, man, it almost feels like it's limitless.
For those, no doubt, man. Let make marriage great again. You know, make marriage cool again.
Right. I hear you on that one. All right. So as we switch up and finalize the interview today. And for those that want to follow you, what you're up to, you mentioned your courses, build your empire. You got your hand in so many cool things. We'll include all of the links in the show notes at millionairemindcast.com. So be sure to check that out, guys. But if somebody wants to follow your social media, a lot of the great content that you're putting out, what is the best place for them to follow up with you on?
The place that I engage the most is Instagram. I'm on all the platforms, but that's where I engage the most. So at John, J-O-H-N dot Malott, M-A-L-O-T-T. That's one L, two T's, M-A-L-O-T-T. I hit everybody back. So anyone that reaches out to me, I try to respond to all the comments. I don't have my team or anybody managing that for me. That's my place where I can, you know, get keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in with society and the community. So at John.Malott, and then our big business page is at Build Your Empire, just how it sounds, all one word, at Build Your Empire. You know, that's the platform that we use for our events, entrepreneur teaching, and that type of thing. That page is well, you'll see we're coming out. We do a lot of major entrepreneur events that we're planning for once this opens up again. We've got some cool stuff that we're going to do to rise up the next generation of world-class entrepreneurs.
You said it, world-class, guys. They've built an amazing platform, community, brand. If you are looking to have a digital brand or business, home-based business, you guys want to check out some of the amazing stuff that they're putting on. So we'll include that in the show description as well. Final piece, John. You know, wealth, I've always said, is it means something different to everybody, whether that's, you know, bringing in $1 million a month in passive income and traveling on private jets, or having a $50,000 RV and you're kicking it on the beach surfing every single day. What is your definition of wealth? And what was the one thing you feel attributed to unlocking it?
For me, wealth is freedom. That's everything to me. Being free to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with who I want to do it with, to not be in the thumb of another man or a woman or a boss or people that I question their character or their integrity, to live on my terms. That's what wealth is to me. And the one, again, there's so many things for me that unlocked. I'm happily discontent. You know, we're in a great place, you know, from the financial standpoint. I no longer care about all the stuff I used to, you know, garages filled with cars and you know, that type of stuff. For me, the biggest turning point is when I stopped caring what other people thought. It freed me. It completely changed everything. I had a mentor that said, look, half these people that you worry about what they think about you, they wouldn't show up to your funeral. And then the ones that did show up, half of them wouldn't cry. And then if it rained that day, half of them wouldn't make it from the funeral home to the burial because of rain. And your concern about what these people think about you, and it took me a long time, because we all, in a way, are concerned about what everybody thinks about us. When I really got to the point where, like, look, I don't care. You know, if you like me, great. If you don't, whatever. Les Brown used to say, it's none of my spiritual business what you think about me. That was the beginning of real wealth. Wealth here, and then it showed up. It manifested in my bank account later on. When I finally stopped caring. I love everybody. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I don't care. If any of your audience doesn't like me, it's like, look, there's a lot of other people that maybe you will like. Follow them.
I love it, brother. You're true to yourself. It shows. You're an amazing leader for so many people. Be sure to check out John Malott. We'll include all of those links in the show notes. John, appreciate your time, brother. Keep blazing the trail, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we got to make this happen.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview and got some massive value from it. And if you did, be sure to share on social media, share with a friend, a family member, anybody that can get some value from this, as well as leave a review in whatever platform you enjoy listening to this content on. If you are watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button, as well as drop me a comment below. Let me know something that you enjoyed from this episode. And if you haven't headed over to go.millionairemindcast.com yet and entered our monthly contest and giveaway of over $1,100 in prizes, be sure to do that. It's free. And if we haven't connected yet, if you haven't hit me up, be sure to text me at 844-447-1555. Yes, I answer each and every one of those texts, and I love getting to hear from all of you guys, the listeners around the entire world. Last, if you haven't checked out some of our free tools and resources and the amazing things that we make available
available to our entire Millionaire Mindcast family. Check out therichlifeacademy.com and know that if you want to get in closer proximity, I'm going to be hosting some of our first events this year. Now more than ever, especially with what is going on, is the time to double down on your relationships, to skill up, to surround yourself with other hard-charging people, because we are going to see this landscape of business and life change, and you want to be surrounded by the best of the best. So if you want to check out more information on our upcoming wealth camps, you can text the word wealth camp, one word, to 844-447-1555. And if you want to be directly mentored by me, this is a one-on-one mentorship. Text the word mentor to 844-447-1555 to learn more about what it entails and how you can work with me directly. With that being said, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to 2 million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.